So my family and I went up north this past summer, which most of you have done, and most of you are far more familiar with up north than we are. But we went up north, and so while we were up north, I found a gem. I found a treasure, and I want to share it with you, and I want to keep it to myself. And it's called Cherry Republic. And I want to share that Cherry Republic just rocked my world. Now, I'm talking about the Glen Arbor Cherry Republic. If you've ever been to the Glen Arbor Cherry Republic, just show me your hand right there. The Glen Arbor Cherry Republic. Okay, how many of you have been to Cherry Republic? You've actually visited a store? Glen Arbor Cherry Republic, you would have thought that Chad Oyer had just made it to Disney World. I mean, we got there and we were just going, and someone said, "Hey, you got to check out Glen Arbor Cherry Republic." And so we did. We were on vacation, and the first night we got there, they had a cherry spitting contest. And I was just like, "Are you kidding me?" And you get to spit cherries and win prizes. And I was just like, "I am in, and I love this place." And I wanted to go before my kids. And so we did that was on a Tuesday night. If you go Tuesday nights in the summer, they got a cherry spitting contest. I was so excited about it. And there in Glen Arbor, the Cherry Republic, you got three buildings, and it is just, it's incredible. It just really is. I love it so much. And so we got candy there, and we got a lot of cherry stuff there. You know, it was Wednesday afternoon, and we had a good day at the beach and playing, and I looked at the family and said, "You know what would be great?" And they went, "Well," I said, "if we just drove back to Cherry Republic there in Glen Arbor and just capped off the night with a little treat, wouldn't that be great?" My kids were so in, my wife not as much, but we loaded up our cherry red minivan, and we went to Cherry Republic, Glen Arbor. So we made the trip over, and just great, loved it. Nothing going on that night, no competitions that night, so I was a little bummed. But I found out that Thursday night, the next night, would be the cherry pie eating contest. Now, I don't know how many of you love pie, but I mean, I heard cherry pie eating contest, and I didn't say anything at the moment, but in my heart, I had already made a commitment to be back to Cherry Republic the following night for the pie eating contest. So we found ourselves back Thursday night. This is three consecutive nights. By the third night, the staff is looking at me and my family of six and going, "Wow." You know, so we do the cherry pie eating contest. My son Neil, he tanked, not real good at it. But my daughter Marilyn, she won. And so, you know, she got a t-shirt and everything. And now she's all jacked up on Cherry Republic, you know. And so we stay after the pie eating contest and have a great night and buy more cherry stuff, right? I mean, every night we're there, we buy cherry stuff for breakfast. So we're eating this stuff at night and the following day for breakfast. And then we're eating the cherry stuff in the afternoon, because why not? So it's Friday night. It's our last night. And my wife is starting to look, and we've been at the dunes all day, and I know what she was thinking. She was thinking, "Please do not tell me we're going back to Cherry Republic, Glen Arbor." And I looked at my kids and said, "You know, I think we should go back to Cherry Republic, and we should get some gifts. We should get some gifts. You know, we've been enjoying Cherry Republic all week. We should get some gifts. My mom's birthday was coming up. My mom loves pie. I said, we should get Grams a cherry pie. We should go to Cherry Republic tonight for others, not for ourselves, right? Go to Cherry Republic. We get a few gifts, but we get more stuff for ourselves than for others. And so we're back to Cherry Republic again. So four nights in a row. And I'm telling you, it's a tradition now that if my family ever goes up to that side of the state, I don't care what the weather is, I don't care what the day is, if we go back this summer, my kids are probably going to look at me and go, "Cherry Republic." And we will probably do Cherry Republic every night, because it is a good thing, and I love that place. I bought a lot of stuff at Cherry Republic. There's even a t-shirt. But that was gifted to me. That was gifted to me by somebody who heard, I came back, I was so enthusiastic about Cherry Republic. Now, it's funny coming back and telling everyone about Cherry Republic, and Michiganders looking at me and like going, "Where have you been? I mean, like, seriously? Like, you're that excited about Cherry Republic?" But I am. I mean, I really am. And so I came back, and so I got this as a gift. And then we have another beautiful family in church, and they found out that I just love the Cherry Republic in Glen Arbor. I ran into one of their family members, Dr. Pierce. And then Dr. Pierce probably told Bill and Melissa Pierce. And so, Bill and Melissa, you're right there. You can wave your hands. Yeah, go ahead. You gifted me. You gifted me. So Melissa knows I love Cherry Republic, so she gives me some Cherry Republic Christmas anniversary gift, right? Was it for me or for my family or for my wife? I didn't know who it was for. I thought it was all for me. So she gives Cherry Republic It's adults only mix. It's great stuff. You know, I don't share that stuff with my kids because it's really good. And so I got Cherry Republic gifts. It's become a running joke that, you know, I will ask people, they say, well, we're going to Traverse City. And I'll go, Julie works with me and she knows, and it's bad. But I'll go, so you're going to Traverse City? And they'll be like, yeah. And they'll be like, you know, there happens to be a Cherry Republic right there. So wherever it is at, you know, and Pastor Jack, if he's going up north, I'll go, you know, over in Glen Arbor, there's a great little place called Cherry Republic. He's like, I know. And so people around me have gotten sick and tired because I'm so enthusiastic. As a matter of fact, I want to go right now to Cherry Republic. Now, how many of you are pretty much to the point like, okay, we get it. You like Cherry Republic, right? And how many of you are like, please tell me you've prepared something else for today's sermon, and this is not just Cherry Republic. And then some of you are probably wondering, okay, so Cherry Republic, like, are you getting paid? Is there like some endorsement? But I'm telling you what, I love Cherry Republic. Now, it's great to share about Cherry Republic, and it's wonderful to tell you what my family experience. Oh, my kids love the cherry sour, the cherry sour candies. They have cherry. Gretchen, why are you shaking your head? Because you know what I'm talking about? Oh, you and Jim. Yeah, yeah. The cherry sour. They love the cherry sour. But there was like four of the Oreo's top five. We bought candy every night. We tried all the candy, and it was just the best cherry candy I've ever had. And so, you know, I thought, it's one thing to talk about Cherry Republic. You know, it's great to talk about Cherry Republic. And it's wonderful to tell people how much you and your family enjoy Cherry Republic. And you're probably thinking, all right, enough already. But you know what's best? It's great when you can share Cherry Republic. Share Cherry Republic. So what I'm going to ask is, I'm going to ask TJ to play a little music. Set the tone. Happy tone. Because this is gift time. So what happens now is every person here, one per family, but you get the idea. One per family and one person. Yeah, you get the idea. Come forward and get your bag of Cherry Republic candy. There's four kinds in here. Come pick your kind. So one per family, one per individual. Come and get your Cherry Republic candy right now. We got the cherry sour mix. We got, if you dig, we got the cherry patches, sour cherry patches down there. We got cherry bell, and we got cherry. There's four kinds in there, so dig around. You might find your kind. And just don't upend our communion table. It'd be bad if we upended communion for cherry sours, but you know. Don't be shy about it. I mean, come get your Cherry Republic. Now, you know, we're a worship environment that allows you to bring coffee and water in here. We're also a worship environment that allows you to eat candy. So don't feel irreverent if you're like, man, we got our candy, love to have it. You're allowed to eat candy at Shine too. So yeah, go ahead. You can have your, it's probably better if you have a piece now so you can have the experience. Now, just because I'm putting them off to the side doesn't mean I'm cutting you off from them. I mean, you know, they're here. If you didn't get one, they're here. Love Cherry Republic. Love Cherry Republic. Just great stuff. And it's funny, someone came up and they said, you do know there's a Cherry Republic in Ann Arbor. You do know. There you go. Got your hands up. Do you work there? No, but you know. Yeah. Yeah. So little thing here, behind the scenes story, because there's always behind the scenes. I want to thank Preston. Preston, right there. Go ahead. Wave your hand. Preston took upon himself the special mission today, this morning, He drove to Ann Arbor, got our cases of candy for us, the freshest Cherry Republic candy you're going to eat, let me tell you. This has not even been on the shelf. This just got there. This freshest candy you're going to eat. Went to Ann Arbor, and you're eating very fresh candy this morning because he made it back this morning, and he got 100 bags of candy for us. So, Preston, thank you for making that possible. The best is when you call a Cherry Republic store and say you want 100 bags of candy. That's the best. And they go, really? You do? Yeah. Cherry Republic is the world's largest exclusive cherry retailer. Didn't know if you knew that, but, I mean, they're not just a Michigan-based company. This is a they have a global impact. Over 3 million gifts are sent from Cherry Republic every year. And Cherry Republic is just an amazing business. Oh, what's also amazing about Cherry Republic is that if you look at their advertising budget, how much they spend in advertising, it is ridiculously small. It is minuscule in comparison to other corporations that have equal or larger revenues than them a year. Their advertising budget is a joke in the business world. But yet they're the world's largest cherry retailer. How does that come to be that a small Michigan cherry company becomes the world's largest? And the best was when I was talking to the owner this past summer when I was there, who I got to meet after four nights there, and I think I got celebrity status. They're like, you got to go meet this guy. He loves the place. Told me it's all word of mouth. It's all word of mouth. He said, that's just how it's all happened. That's how it happens. That's who we are, that people come here like you, and they love it, and then they just spread it. It's all word of mouth. Wow. What a powerful concept that word of mouth can have such an impact. That word of mouth can mean so much to a business. That's a big deal. Now, a lot of cherries, and you got cherry candy, and we're in this cherry hysteria right now. But, you know, shifting back to real life, because it's not all about Cheddar and his vacation to Glen Arbor. It's not all about Cherry Republic. Shifting back to real life, I know that life isn't always a bowl of cherries. I know it's not always a bowl of cherries. And I know that life isn't always as sweet as the bag of candy you're holding right now. And I know that sometimes life brings gifts. I know other times life does not always bring gifts our way. I'm shifting now back to real life. I mean, we've had our Oprah moment with the cherry candy, which is great, but you know, you're here for more than cherry candy. And God wants us to talk more about scripture and other things than Cherry Republic. So I know life isn't always a bowl of cherries. It wasn't too long ago that I was talking to a person, and this person and I were having a real life conversation, a tough conversation. And this person and I were talking about his life and the fact that impending loss is coming his way. That this person is working through a real life situation, that loss, a great loss, is coming his way. It's inevitable that loss is coming his way. It is going to happen. And when this loss happens, and because it's inevitable, it's coming his way, it is going to leave this person crushed. Matter of fact, he's already crushed, but he's trying to process the crush because he knows that the impending crush is going to come. And so he's trying to brace himself. He's trying to prepare himself. And I was trying to help him as well to brace himself and to prepare himself for the impending loss that when it comes, and inevitably it is coming, is going to rock his world in a bad way, because this will be a loss. So we're having a real life, tough conversation, trying to prepare, trying to brace for this loss. And so him and I talked, and you know what? There in the moment, I did my best, but stepping away from the moment, having some time to reflect upon the moment that we had, the conversation that we had, my reflections led me to a truth. And the truth was, as I looked at my conversation with this guy who's sharing his life, and it's a tough conversation, and this guy's got a loss that just is the biggest loss he will ever have in his life. As I looked back at my conversation with him, I did some things well in my conversation with him. I was a great counselor. I counseled him. I did some hope counseling, reality but hope. I did some therapy, a little bit of therapy work, and I'm not even a therapist, and I really don't like to do therapy, but I thought, you know what, I even probably kind of even maybe did a little bit of therapy there, and a little hope therapy. I thought about that. I thought I also probably did a good job of bracing him for the impending inevitable loss, but yet also kind of trying to use some feel-good language in there a little bit, and maybe hopefully he felt better about himself as he left our conversation. Those are some things that I did well in that conversation. But when I stepped away from the conversation, I realized through God showing me that I had failed. You know, in the book of Acts starts off, and Luke writes Acts, and Luke talks about the Christian movement. He talks about how the church is birthed, and he talks about how the church grows. He talks about how the Spirit explodes through them. And the book of Acts starts, the first chapter, at the 8th verse, with this statement: "You will be disciples, Christ believers. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You will be my witnesses. That Jesus says to those who have experienced him and know who he is, that those who have experienced Christ as their Lord and Savior, that those who have experienced him and know him, that they will be his witnesses. That they will be his word of mouth ambassadors. That they will share his greatness. That they will share who this man is who has changed their life, who has turned them upside down. That they will share who he is. That they will be his witnesses. Now, you could spend hours exegeting the scripture, but it really doesn't have to be that way, because it really is, as it says, is that the church is born, that the church grows, and that people come into the faith because these believers don't know just with their heads, but they believe and are impassioned with their hearts that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, and he's the hope for every person. And so they share that, and it's a word of mouth movement. That's what it is. As I reflected back on my conversation with this person, I realized that I had not directly referenced him to, asked him about, and led him back to his only hope in this situation. His only hope is Jesus Christ. It's his only hope. I mean, hope in himself, it's not going to get him there. Hope in the person that is, it's not going to get him there. There is nothing else for this person in this situation. There is no other source of hope, and I failed to put it that simply. I failed to put it that succinctly. I failed to be that direct with him, and I failed to look at him and say, your only hope is Jesus Christ. And not just as a cheap, fundamental, evangelical answer, but as a true, scripture-centered answer, I failed to just direct that person back to Jesus Christ. I was writing thank you cards last week for Christmas gifts. And I love writing thank you cards, because thank you cards make you stop and they make you remember what you've been given. And usually in remembering what you've been given, the gift just becomes greater. And usually when you stop and you remember what's been given and you write those thank you cards, you're even more appreciative, far more appreciative than you even were at the moment you received the gift. It's just one of those amazing things that all of you experience, that we've all experienced when you write those thank you cards. And I was writing the thank you cards with my cup of coffee, and what a wonderful time just to sit there and think about people who gifted me, pray for them, and to just grow in appreciation for their thoughtfulness and generosity. Last month, we had a series. It was called The Promise. Some of you were here, and in The Promise, I'll just recap that series for you. If you were with us, you're going to remember. If you weren't with us, it's going to help you know where we're headed. Here was the premise of our series last month called The Promise: when doubters need hope, when the oppressed need love, when the divided need peace, when each of us needs joy, there's the promise. There's the promise. And the promise is Jesus Christ. We talked about hope, peace, love, joy. Those are Advent truths. Those are Advent themes, but we talked about them last month. And we personalized hope, and we personalized joy. And we personalized each one, and we personalized it by saying Jesus Christ is hope. Jesus Christ is peace. Jesus Christ is love. Jesus Christ is joy. He's the promise. given to us by God. Now, some of you were here last month for that series, and now you remember, and it's clicking, and that's what we did. This month is called I Promise. The fact here, the premise is that last month, those of us who came to church during Advent, and most of us did because we're good Christmas attenders and we loved Advent, is the premise is that last month, we were the recipients of the promise. That we were the recipients. That when we came, we received His hope. When we came, we received, we were the recipients. The premise for I Promise for this month is that we're not just going to sit and be the recipients, but we are going to become the sharers of Jesus Christ. We are going to profess, and we are going to put Him in the center of our conversations, and that we are going to be the ones who share word of mouth that Jesus Christ, when it comes down to it, is a person's only hope. Jesus Christ is the only person's source of love, that He is a only source of person's peace, and He is the sole person, sole source of person's joy. You know what today is, right? A lot of you know, it's Epiphany. And Epiphany is January 6th. Some of you maybe celebrated last night. Did anybody celebrate with King's Cake? Anybody celebrate with King's Cake? All right. It's a New Orleans thing in Mardi Gras. They have King's Cake. And on January 5th, the night before, it's a big celebration. They celebrate. Is that a surprise to you that people in New Orleans celebrate? And they celebrate. And so January 5th is a big celebration, and they got King's Cake. And it's a celebration for some. And for us, we mark the day. If you were to be in the traditional service, Epiphany is the central text. It's the central message. And today is that day in our faith. Well, go to Matthew. Go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 10 through 12. It's called the visit of the Magi. Epiphany is that day. It's January 6th every year. It's here. And when they saw the star, the Magi, or the wise men, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The Epiphany is to be shown, to reveal, to make known. That's what Epiphany is that Christ is revealed, and that we make Him known as He has been made known to us. It's the Magi, or the wise men, are very, very significant, and they become great word of mouth witnesses for Jesus Christ, because they're the first Gentiles. They are the first Gentiles to encounter Jesus Christ as God's Son. Their eyes are open, their hearts are open, and they realize He is the promised Messiah. This is the Savior. This is the Lord. This is the King. And so just because they don't go back to Herod doesn't mean that they become silent witnesses. As a matter of fact, they go back another route. They take another route, and they go through Gentile territories, and they shared that they were word of mouth witnesses that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was here, that the hope was here. If you go to the book of Luke, there's a corresponding Epiphany passage that we read quite often. I invite you to go to the book of Luke. And if you go to Luke, we're going to turn to chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And Luke chapter 2 corresponds with Matthew chapter 2. And the reading of the Magi corresponds with this reading of Simeon and Anna. Now there is a man, I'll go to verse 25. Now there is a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who is righteous and devout. He is waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, the child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. And there also was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to whom all were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town in Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The Magi, the wise men. Simeon, the prophet. Anna, the prophetess. All of them experienced Jesus Christ as the promised one, as the source of hope. They all experience him, and they each become word of mouth witnesses to what they have experienced in Jesus Christ. If you read about Epiphany today, a lot of Christian scholars, and you read the commentaries, and they'll say that today, Epiphany, January 6th, is the day that we observe as the church, as a time of focusing on the mission of the church and reaching others by showing them, making known Jesus to all people. That today is that day. And so today on January 6th, we're supposed to do that. We're supposed to make Jesus known today. That's the mission of the church, to make him known. So we're supposed to reveal to all that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And that's what we're supposed to do on January 6th. But what we are going to do is we're not just going to do that call and that mission on January 6th. We're going to make that our call, and we're going to make that mission this entire month, is to make Jesus known. It's to make him known. As I stepped back from that conversation, I realized I had failed, because so much of the time, Jesus is up here in my mind and not always here in my heart. I know Jesus, I've talked about Jesus, teach about Jesus, but if I would have been, in my heart would have been in that conversation that day, fully in that conversation, if I would have really locked hearts with the guy and understood the magnitude of his loss and really come to grips with the truth that his only hope is Jesus Christ, I would have spoke to him through my heart and I would have said, look, I wish I could stay here all day and give you hope counseling and give you hope therapy. I wish I could give you, but Jesus Christ is your only hope. And that's what I should have said to him, because I meant it, and that would have come from my heart. And that's what each of these people in Scripture did. That's what Anna does, it's what Simeon does, it's what the Magi do. They share that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and they share that message with their hearts, not with their minds. Their minds can't even get all around what they're experiencing, but they share it with their hearts. What would it be like for an entire month if you and I formed a practice, if we started training our hearts to share Jesus with others? If we just started sharing Jesus. There's so much other stuff that we like to share. We like to share inspirational YouTube videos that people can go to. We like to share our favorite book. If someone goes through our time and go, oh, I just read this book and you need this book. But what would it sound like? What would it be like if we really started becoming word of mouth witnesses for Jesus? So this month for I Promise, that's going to be our intent. It's not that we just become, it's not just become recipients, but become sharers of Jesus Christ.